Stand by. The bullshit ends in 3, 2, 1. This is Jennifer Goodwin Live. Jennifer Goodwin Live. A podcast exposing the lies and BS in the world. Spotlighting what's true. This is Jennifer Goodwin.
Hey everyone, today's guest is Ian Jacklin, author, filmmaker, health coach, activist, actor, kickboxing champ, and basically your typical bullied kid to longtime successful fighter in so many areas. You can follow him at ianjacklin.com, where you can read more about his books and check out his other site, icurecancer.com. Welcome, Ian.
Thanks, Jennifer. I appreciate being on the show.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. I was so excited to record this with you. I kept saying, yay, it's the Ian week. Yay, we're going to do this. So thanks for being here and taking this time. And let's kick this off with your story, your life. Start at the beginning because it's such a great story and the audience needs to hear this. So let us have it.
Okay, sure. Yeah, there's been some ups and downs for sure. Started off with a big down, if you consider, I mean, I don't want to get too melodramatic, but I was adopted. So, you know, start off in an orphanage. Luckily, I didn't spend a lot of time there. I was adopted at a fairly young age. And basically, we'll skip right through to, you know, that age where kids are cruel, mm-hmm. you know, in public school and stuff. And I wasn't the biggest victim by any means. I saw many more being hurt a lot more than I was. But, you know, any kind of, you can't measure pain. It's a truthful thing. So luckily, I got into the martial arts right away and was able to quickly learn how to protect myself and others. And right away, I started helping protect the kids that were being bullied as well. I remember in, you know, I forget what grade it was, but it was definitely public school within the first 3-4 grades. And we had this kid, he was mentally challenged, maybe they would say today. So, and he got beat up a lot. Aww. And I remember watching it and thinking, the first time I ever experienced it, I looked up and I saw these kids having a lot of fun. I think it was the first time I went to camp, and I thought that I want fun. I want that smile on my face. And I looked down and I saw that's because they were kicking and spitting on this poor kid. Oh, Jesus. David, I never forget his name. And I wasn't big enough yet to do anything about it. I was too small, so I had to just watch it. And I knew in that moment, though, that's when I knew my reason to be on planet Earth was because I wanted to be Superman in that moment. I wanted to be Spider-Man, aww. The Incredible Hulk. I wanted to go over there and help that kid, but I was too small to do so. So, but it set me on a path at that moment to never to be helpless again if I could help it. So, you know, eventually I got my mom to get me to karate and stuff, and I got stronger and learned how to fight. And I ended up protecting that kid for myself and Bill Christodoulou, who from Tecumseh Public School in London, Ontario, Canada. We both always watched over that guy and tried to make sure that he was left alone. You know, I got into high school, and my friend, one of my best friends, got beat up in front of me I think it was the first day of school in grade 9, you know, as if you're not scared enough as it is going to high right. school. And I was held back and couldn't do anything about it. So I remember I went into the next class and I inscribed onto the desk. It makes me wonder if that desk is still there to this day. In H.B. Beale Secondary School. I went to Beale in London, Ontario. And I inscribed into the desk, never again. And that was the night I went home and made my mom put me in karate. Because I just hate being helpless. And I don't like bullies. It's just horrible, these people. And I got into the karate and I got really good. Within 2 years, I was a green belt and I was better than most black belts. And by the age of 18, I was the Canadian kickboxing champion.
Beat anyone up in high school? Did you get to say stop that? And everyone was like, oh shit, don't mess with him.
Yeah, that's the thing about you can always tell if a guy knows how to fight because he's the quiet one. It's the guys that are shooting their mouth off and thinking they're all tough and cool. That right. they're the easiest to beat in fights because they don't know nothing. They can't fight. They just talk a good game. Right. But you stand up to them, they run. Right. So yeah, I really didn't get into too many fights as a martial artist. Not until I became a bouncer in Los Angeles, which I'll tell you more about those fights later. They had a lot of street fights, but they're all with drunkards at nightclubs. So basically, I was the Canadian champion, kickboxing champion, and I felt like I wanted more out of life. I wasn't happy just going to go to college or get my electrical apprenticeship, you know, become an electrician. That's what I was planning on doing. Lennox Lewis, who won the gold medal in 1988, his first pro fight was in my hometown, because he's from, a lot of people think he's from England. He's actually from Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. So, and my kickboxing gym was in Kitchener. So they took over our gym basically and were training for his first professional fight. And then they were using some of us kickboxers as boxing sparring opponents for the boxers, because you can never get enough sparring. So his trainer saw me working out and was like, damn, there's a white boy that can fight. And and I was a kickboxer. He said, imagine if he really was to focus on his hands. So they took me back to London, England with them. And I went into pro boxing for a little while. I was already the Canadian champion kickboxing. Was I? I think so. And then I was so many titles. I think I had fought for the North American title and got a draw at that point. And that's when Lennox showed up in my gym and they'd take me to England with them. So I got really good with my hands too. But every boxing fight they had set up for me fell through. It was strange. And then after about a half a year of that, I knew it wasn't really for me. I'll just be straight up. I didn't get along with the trainer, the main trainer of the gym. I loved the assistant trainer, and I loved Lennox Lewis himself. He's a great man. All the guys were all cool, but we just had a personality conflict, I guess. So I decided to leave because my head was on the line. You're literally getting, the hell beat out of you when you're boxing. There's nothing but punches constantly. My face, you can tell I got like the boxer's brow just in those few six months. Because when I was a kickboxer, I could keep them away with my long legs. I'm 6'2", and I was usually the taller guy when I was fighting, and I could keep them away. I didn't get hit that much, but within 6 months of pro boxing, without even getting, not even having an actual fight, just the sparring, my face was getting smashed in.
Wow.
And I wasn't happy. Yeah. I'm there's two kinds of fighters out there. The kind of fighter that trains well under fear, or the other, like myself, that trains well under love. And this trainer was a former Marine drill sergeant. And so he was all about fear. Right. And that just didn't vibe with me. I need to be nurtured and I'd become a better fighter. So I had been watching, the only thing that I remember good about England, because I was there during the rainy season, which is most of the year, was I'd watch Baywatch. They had four channels, and on one of the channels you could watch Baywatch. I thought, I think I should be in California, not not London, England. So when I went back to London, Ontario, where I'm from, I worked the summer, saved up some money, and I jumped on my motorcycle with a tent and sleeping bag at the end of the year. I turned 22 on the trip to California. And I got there, I stayed with a trainer I had back in Canada. His brother lived in California. He's an old Mohawk Indian guy, amazing. I love this guy. He became like a father to me. He was 85 or so when I first moved there. And he was a former pro boxer when he was younger, and we just hit it off. He was amazing. Les Sickles. And he let me stay with him for the first year I was in California, where I was getting on my feet, learning where the gyms were, started training. These people started to see who I was. I had my first pro fight there, kickboxing with, of all people, who's now one of the most famous guys in the MMA world, Javier Mendez. Javier Mendez trains Cain Velasquez, Daniel Cormier, Luke Rockwell, a bunch of huge, big name fighters. He's Khabib. Anybody that's an MMA fan will know these people. So I fought him. And I beat him the first time in California, Anaheim, California. It was on the undercard of Don the Dragon Wilson, who they actually wanted me to fight him that night. Now, Don Wilson, again, this is for kickboxing fans. You'll know him. He was a living legend, longest reigning champion, one of the greatest fighters. They wanted me to fight him that night. And I just said, no, I'm like 22 years old. I didn't even hit my man weight. You don't get your man weight till you're like 27. I'm still like a skinny little kid. So I took the next fight available, and that was this Javier Mendez kid, and I beat him. And they kept wanting me to fight Don, but we ended up being friends. We trained together, actually. That's why I was so good for that fight, because by not taking that fight against him, I got to train with him, and we sparred each other. So Don the Dragon Wilson ended up being my training partner and friend because I said no to the fight against him. And he put me into movies. He was doing a bunch of movies. So all of a sudden, I'm in Hollywood. He actually put me in as a starring role too. The first few movies, I just had small fight roles. The next thing you know, they needed the lead bad guy in a movie called Ring of Fire 2 because the other guy that was supposed to come in from Canada couldn't get his papers straight. So they let me have the role. And that really just got myself into, now I had two careers. I had an acting career and a professional kickboxing career, and there's no money in professional kickboxing back then. And this is just before UFC started, just before the MMA world broke out. Matter of fact, one of the movies I booked was called Kickboxer 3, and it was in Rio de Janeiro. So before anybody had ever even heard of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, which is the biggest thing in the world now, those are the guys that started MMA. The Gracie family, who had the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, came to America and started the UFC because they wanted to prove to the world that their martial arts style was the best. And they basically did, because their martial arts style isn't so much kicking and punching. It's stopping others from kicking and punching, getting a hold of them and becoming a boa constrictor and choking them out. It's an amazing martial art. I got a blue belt in it myself when I discovered it. So these guys came to America to show their school, and it worked. And next thing you know, UFC is the biggest thing ever. And I had always dreamed of that as a child. When I was young, I was boxing or kickboxing. I thought, man, boxing's huge, kickboxing small. There's no money in it. Why? Because I thought it was a better sport. It was more fun. It was more weapons, more areas of defense. It was a strategical, it was a better chess game than just using your hands. And now all of a sudden we got kickboxing and wrestling and jiu-jitsu and everything. It's mixed martial arts. It was amazing. So I got to see, and I was a pioneer of that sport. They say the kickboxers were the pioneers of MMA because we took it from boxing to kicking and punching. And then the jiu-jitsu guys and the wrestlers came in and added it all together. So that was great to see in my lifetime that a martial artist could actually make a living fighting. Because when I was fighting, I never could. I always had to work as a construction guy, bouncer, cab, whatever, driving cab, whatever it took. I'd do my 40 hours a week working, and then I'd also be in the gym training. So, I mean, we were the pioneers. We worked really hard for that. So long story longer, basically, I did all the I had enough kickboxing fights, and I was starting to lose them too because I was doing movies. I was trying to get in shape and do a movie at the same time, and it's just impossible. So eventually fighting for the world championship, I fought Javier Mendez again because he was so upset that I beat him the first time because he was unbeaten. I remember the first time I heard his record, I was getting across the ring from him, waiting to go to fight from him with him. And I hear he's 10 wins with 10 KOs. And I'm like, what? They didn't tell me that.
Shit.
Yeah. That happened to me more than once. After I left Canada, I had great handlers in Canada. Ron Day and Jimmy Fields were my handlers in Canada. But when I came to the States, I was just cannon fodder, really. But I was such a good fighter that I would always beat the guys that they set me up to lose to. And then I ended up with a great trainer, Ruben Yukitas. Benny the Jet Yukitas is brother. Trained me, so then I was in good hands, and I fought for the world title against Javier again, and he beat me that time. So him and I are 1-1, and we're great friends to this day, which is nice because whenever I'm in San Jose, where I go to his AKA his MMA martial art gym, and I get to meet all the champions today. Like I met Cain Velasquez, I got to school him on vaccines and all his guys because I was up there.
There's a segue.
That's where all. This was in, when was that? 15 or 16, when we were battling forced vaccinations on children in California to go to school. I think it was 15. And so I was doing anything I can, going up to the Capitol in California, you know, Sacramento and San Jose. And him being a great man and popular man, I really wanted to help these children. I know vaccines are very bad for them. I've kind of skipped that whole medical side. We'll get to that in a minute. But to correlate it with the kickboxing and everything, was he is a popular guy. He's got lots of press. So I went to him, and he knew vaccines were bad because one of his children, or at least one of them, were vaccine injured. Mm-hmm. So he was on my side. So he let me go up there. We set up a booth and had people come in and sign. We were getting signatures, you know, to fight this forced vaccination in California, which we lost, of course. Jerry Brown, that scumbag governor, won. and they brought in the forced vaccinations. And thanks to that, I don't know how many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, but a lot of children have gotten autism and or died in California because we lost that referendum.
Wow.
It was 277, was it? I forget now.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just a prep. What I'm about to this day is I'm an activist more than anything. I step up and fight for the children because they can't fight for themselves. And right. Vaccines are just straight up horrible. They are to make customers for life. That's it. Yep. And if anybody questions this, there's a book out right now called, and I'm reading, I'm almost done. It's called Turtles All the Way Down. And the subtitle is something like Vaccine Myth and something. I forget. But it's just remember Turtles All the Way Down.
Writing it down.
Amazing book. Amazing. Proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that no vaccine has ever been tested. Ever have they ever done a placebo,
right,
blinded, whatever study? They will do a study against an old vaccine. So they'll say, well, this old vaccine, you know, there's this many deaths. So this new vaccine, there's this many deaths. Well, they need to do it against a, you know, somebody that doesn't do any vaccines.
Right.
They need to test it. Vaxxed, non-vaxxed. That's what they need to do. Vaxxed, non-vaxxed, and look at the statistics. They will not do that because they know, they all got autism. They all got everything. You know,
Know. And how do they sleep at night? This is what boggles the minds of people like you and I, and a lot of my other guests. Is how do they sleep at night? They can't possibly be human. They can't possibly have a soul or a conscience. I mean, I just think there's demons that walk amongst us that do these things.
They're reptilians. They're draconians. They are. This is where, like, that's skipping way ahead. Way ahead to my next
rabbit hole.
My next book. Yeah. Let's just start. The vaccines are crap right now. And we'll go from there.
Right.
Well, and I'll even, before I go any further on the vaccine, let me backtrack a little bit, because while I was in California and, man, there's just so many topics to hit. I was given the deal.
You were trying out the acting thing, and you realized you couldn't do both at the same time. And what happened then?
Well, and I just decided to stick with the acting, and that was going great. I was starring in movies. You can see some of the pictures here. This is one of the kickboxing pictures. Mm-hmm. I was doing really well, but I was offered the deal. It's true what Kanye West says, that Hollywood's run by a certain group of people, and a lot of them are homosexual, and they want to have sex with me. And I said, I'm not a homosexual, so no, thank you. And I walked away, but I was given like a multi-picture deal, basically. If I would have went over and hung out, the guy told me, I hang out with my friends. We like to smoke cocaine. They like to, you know, they're homosexual. And I said, thanks, but no thanks, man. And I walked away. I said no to the deal.
Wait. This is where the audience is going, whoa, 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 what did you just say? Wait, elaborate on this a little bit. So you're saying that you are living proof that you showed up in Hollywood and one or more men or women, mostly men, you can fill in the details, said to you, how did this happen? How they said the thing to you, and paint this picture for us. This is an important piece here.
Yes. Okay. I was hot in Hollywood. I was like 24 years old, starring in B movies. I was the star of these martial art B movies. I was getting episodic TV shows. I was on Raven. I was on Just Shoot Me. I was on Days of Our Lives. I had a recurring role. I mean, I was good because I put all the energy and passion I had from fighting into learning how to act. And I studied method acting, and I became, you know, I studied Stanislavski. I was a great actor, and I was offered the deal. We'll make you the next, you know, you name him, Keanu Reeves, whoever. Just we just need you to hang with us and, you know, be a part of our group. And the guy snatched me out of like this. I was on audition, and I could tell it was a cool building full of, because I already saw some movie stars, Mary Jo somebody, I forget her name. I saw some people. I was like, I'm in a pretty cool building, you know. And I went to the audition. When I was leaving, this manager guy grabbed me and said, come here, what are you doing here? What are you doing in this building? oh, I'm just on an audition, you know, bright eyed, you know, bushy tailed,
totally innocent.
Innocent. Yeah. And he goes, oh, interesting. Let me see your picture and resume. So I gave it to him. He looked at it. He goes, oh, yeah, I might be able to help you out. So over a few weeks, this guy starts, you know, he's working me. And then he wants to take me out to dinner. So he brings me over to his house and he takes me through the whole house and he shows me all these movie posters of all these huge movie stars. And I won't break anybody's hearts out there, because trust me when I tell you, you won't be able to go to the movies anymore, because you're going to be like, that guy sucked dick. That guy sucked dick. That guy sucked dick. You know? And so it was just really disappointing, because he's telling me the stories behind all these different people and how they made it. And then, of course, by the time we get to dinner, then he lays it on the table for me. And I'll never forget that moment. Because here's, I mean, I'm probably coming up to 10 years of acting classes, maybe five anyway. I forget what stage it was, but a lot of years I invested into this and I'm ready. It's like ready to fight for the title. But it's like that movie Brando was in where he had to throw the fight, you know. It's my night, Charlie. It was you, Charlie. It was you. You should have looked out for me just a little bit. I had to sell my soul to get the shot at the title. Wow. And I was just devastated. I mean, we just...
So you knew. He was literally like, this is what you have to do.
Yeah, he literally...
If you want to be like those guys I just pointed out on the wall at my house, this is what you have to do.
Yeah, come on over. We like to smoke cocaine and, you know... Bunch of guys, Memphis on the guys, not like any hot chicks were there, that's for sure.
Right.
So it was quite heartbreaking. I went back and I slowly but surely kind of just got more depressed, because I realized I'm not saying nobody ever made it in Hollywood without doing that. I'm sure there's some, like, I can't imagine guys like Jim Carrey who are just so talented, and they're more character actors anyway. I don't know if anybody want to sleep with him anyway. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think the
good looking, if you're listening.
Sorry, Jim. Yeah. But the really good looking leading men, I gotta wonder how many of them, you know, if they got through without having to do that. I hope so. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was. And
that's gotta totally, you know, deflate your balloon at that point. Like, holy shit, I see the whole industry now. This ain't happening for me, because I'm not willing to sell my soul.
Yeah. Yeah. So the good news is, the best thing that happened to me in Hollywood was I discovered that cancer was curable if you stayed away from your oncologist. Because I was doing a play, it was called Spoiled Women. And my friend Wendell wrote that one, and we were rehearsing, and I overheard Cynthia Brooks, J. Cynthia Brooks, who also was on Days of Our Lives at one time, and very talented actress, tell her friends that she just heard from the UCLA doctors that she cured herself of terminal cervical cancer. And I looked back at her and I said, what? Did you just say you cured yourself of cancer? She said, yeah, it's a miracle, the doctor said. I said, well, how come my doctors don't know about that? That can't be true. Get out of town.
Right. You
know? And yeah. But our friendship grew, and she explained it all to me over the months or weeks that we were on that film, and our friendship. And she didn't know how she did it. She just followed the diet. And back then they didn't even know it was called an alkaline diet. It was just drop the meat, the dairy, and the sugar and go vegan, basically, and take supplements and meditate a lot, you know. And it worked. She cured herself within 8 months. She had it out of her system. She only had a year to live had she followed the chemo and the radiation, the surgery. So wow. I was so intrigued by this. And again, young, innocent, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, I had to tell the world. I found this secret. You're not going to believe it. having no idea that it's been suppressed the whole time. Like, it's always been there, but it's always been suppressed.
Well, before we tell the secret to the audience, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll come right back.
You're listening to the Jennifer Goodwin Live Podcast. We'll be right back after these messages. We're back to the Jennifer Goodwin Live Podcast. This is Jennifer Goodwin.
All right, let's get into this secret about curing your own cancer and this alkaline diet you're speaking of. Let's go. I have questions, because I already heard you say something about vegan and this, and, you know, I eat some carnivore, so I want to pick your brain on this, but go ahead and give your explanation here.
Excellent. Well, you know, there's no accidents, no mistakes or coincidences. You run into the right people at the right time. And after I ran into Cynthia and she showed me that cancer was curable, if you stayed away from your oncologist, I started researching on my own, and it was perfect timing because the internet had just come out. And I started researching and researching, and I would find other people that had the same story, like, oh, I had cancer, then I did this, this, and this, and it went away. And luckily they would leave their phone number. So then I would call them too, because I really wanted to hear it through their voice. So there's an energy thing there where you can, right. You know, I wouldn't say I'm clairvoyant, but I'm clairsentient. I can tell, I just know when things are right. Mm-hmm. So I would, and it helps to listen to their voice, and yep, they weren't lying to me. So I kept doing that, and I thought, I'm going to make a documentary of this. So I did. I made a documentary called I Cure Cancer. It's on my YouTube today. It's on my Rumble. It's on every site you can think of, because you never know who's going to take what down when. But so in this documentary shows a ton of people that had been diagnosed with different kind of cancers, different levels, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. And they all cured it by using holistic methods. And Dr. Bernardo Mahalika was my man. He was the star of that film. And he passed away in 2008. But man, he was like a father to me too, once I met him and realized what he knew. So I just stuck to him and talked to him all the time and learned everything I could from him. Now, I'm not an educated man. I never went to university or college or anything like that. I basically, you know, finished high school.
You're not an indoctrinated man. You're an educated man on your own accord.
Self-educated, yes. And that turned out to be perfect. I always thought I just wasn't smart enough for school, but I realized what it was. My instincts.
Too smart.
My instincts told me that what they teach in school is wrong. And it is. Most of it's wrong. So I didn't waste my time with it, because I understand biology, the new biology, the true biology, better than most doctors now. Because I knew not to fill my head full of garbage. Their biology is a joke. If you follow anything from Pasteur, you've been taught wrong. You need to listen to Bichamp, Antoine Bichamp. So this is leading me into my next section, where Dr. Bernardo was my mentor, but he never taught me the science or any of that behind it. He just taught me, he gave me the treasured map. Here's how it works. And then I gave that to as many people that I possibly could. I made a documentary about it. And so, you know, thousands of people have utilized that and cured themselves of cancer. Then along comes Dr. Robert O. Young, who's now my current mentor and teacher. And he is another guy doing the alkaline thing, but he's a scientist. So he was able to explain to me how it all works. And this is going to answer your questions about being a carnivore to a certain extent. The new biology is this. You have an interstitium. You have interstitial fluids in the interstitium that basically, via the lymphatic system, will draw the acid out of your blood that you got in it from what you eat, drink, think, breathe, and these days, the Wi-Fi radiation. Okay, that's that. All that poisoning results in acidic blood. And if your lymphatic system doesn't pull it out and store it somewhere, like in your fat cells or your joints where you get arthritis, or I get boils if I eat too much garbage. Skin cancer is another one I had, and I got rid of that. Basically, it takes that acid and gets rid of it one way or another. Now, the smartest thing to do is to sweat it out, so it doesn't have to go to your joints or to your extremities, to your skin, to your organs. Just sweat it out. Crack a sweat every day, 4 or 5 days a week if you can.
You know, it's funny you say that. I literally, and I'm horrible. I'm not exercising currently, but in my mind I am, and I'll get there, and tomorrow might be the day. But I woke up this morning desperately wanting to go into a sauna and sweat stuff out.
That's your instincts telling you you're acidic right now. You can take some pH strips. You're in pH strips, pee on them in the morning, see what it is. Yep. And that'll tell you what your interstitial fluid pH is. And
that's a good point to make. I have pH strips. I've been telling people about them for 15, 20 years. You can literally pick them up for under $10, and you can test your saliva, your urine very quickly in a matter of seconds. And that's a great, reference point. If you can even go to Google Images and download a chart of the acidic to alkaline range, and it'll take you from, you know, the 3.0 acidic left side of the scale all the way up to the 9.0 alkaline. And you can see, well, wait a minute, the human body is supposed to be 7.4 and I'm at 5. Something's going wrong here. So yes. I highly encourage everyone to go pick up some alkaline or some pH strips.
And I'll add to that, if you're at 4.5, you die. 5, you probably have cancer. 5.5 up to 6. Anything below 6, you're developing some sort of degenerative disease. Average is 6.3. Most people are about there.
Okay.
You want 7.4 to 8.4. And the way to do this right away is to start drinking baking soda. Take a teaspoon of baking soda and a glass of water. And don't give me any of this crap about, oh, I heard that there's aluminum in baking soda. No, that's baking powder.
Exactly. Baking
soda, Arm & Hammer, it's fine. Any kind you can think of. All baking soda is fine that I know of. I mean, you can get a better product called Four Salts from Dr. Robert O. Young's. He's invented one, and that's got, you know, magnesium, potassium, and sodium chloride. Is four salts instead of the one. There's one in baking soda. You can get the four. That's
I've got like, the 12 salts. The 12. I've got cell salts. It's called, and they're little white pellets that dissolve under my tongue, and it supposedly has the 12 salts your body needs. I don't know. Just look. Oh. So I picked those up. I put them in a little dispenser, and I shake about five of those little pellets. They're about the size of those. A little bit bigger than those boron homeopathic little white pellets that you get, those little tubes, or they're about, I would say, two or three times the size of those little things. And they just dissolve instantly under your tongue.
That's good. That's good. That'll help out counterbalance if you are eating meat. So I tell people, if you're a meat eater, and I am still too, it's 80-20 is the diet. 80% of the time be vegan, alkaline, 20% acidic. So you can still cure cancer doing that. I mean, I personally, when I had cancer, I didn't have any meat or fruit or anything acidic because I had prostate cancer. I wanted to clean that up right away. Wow. And same with my skin cancer. The skin cancer, I added cannabis oil, stuff that a lot of people smoke to get high, cannabis oil. You just put that under a Band-Aid on your skin cancer and change the Band-Aid every few days. And your skin cancer goes away within a month, 3 months, sometimes 18 if you have bad, bad, deep melanoma.
Dark. You know, I always wanted to open a spa called Dips, D-I-P-Z. And in one bathtub, there was raw honey. In the next bathtub, there's red wine. In the next bathtub, you could have apple cider vinegar. Of course, you could never do this because of sanitary reasons. But now I want to dip in the cannabis oil.
Yes. And let me quick note there. Apple cider vinegar is a no-no. It's pure acid, alkalized with baking soda.
Really?
So get rid of the apple cider vinegar. It's just...
It tastes like shit anyway.
Yeah, and it's counteracting everything you want. You want
really? Oh boy, I have a few people to let know about that.
I know a lot of people think that's the greatest thing, and here's why it seems like it's okay. I used to use it, and I thought it kind of works. But Dr. Young explained to me how they'll rob Peter to pay Paul, sort of thing. Like, I'll take that acid, and my bones will give out calcium to rates because your pH can't change too much in your blood, or you'll die. So. Yeah, it'll take the calcium, which is alkaline, out of your bones and put it into your blood so you don't die. But now you get bone cancer. That's why bone cancer is almost always the secondhand cancer, the second cancer to come to somebody that has like a regular cancer. Then they get bone cancers because their blood is trying to counteract all the acidosis.
That's why they say, oh, and it's traveled to the bones.
Truthfully, your bones have been giving up all its alkalinity to save your life in the blood. Yep. And now your bones are shot.
Wow.
But you're better off just taking baking soda, a teaspoon of baking soda and a glass of water after meals. So 3 to 4 of those a day. And again, if you want to get fancy, you can contact me. I can tell you the supplements, the four salts, P-H-O-U-R salts, because they have the potassium and everything else in there. But, you know, for now, it's great. Just
well, is that what elect these, you know, these $1 electrolyte packets, the sodium, magnesium, potassium, you know, people are adding it all back into their lifestyle because it's missing from the diet.
Yes. Yeah. And that's really good. That's an amazing supplement. That's what you want to supplement first. Because again, there's one disease, one cure. The disease is acidosis. The cure is alkalinity. So cancer.
Oh, wow. That's a great.
Cancer, lupus. My girlfriend has had lupus her whole life, and it really had hurt her with arthritis and everything else. Again, her bones, she was so acidic from all the drugs they're giving her and her diet and everything else that, you know, it hurt her bones and everything. And ever since she's met me, she's gone alkaline and she's off of most of her medications. I think she's just on one. But other than that, she's back to normal. Because there's nothing wrong with anybody. You just need to balance your pH, your interstitial fluids of the interstitium.
Cure the Lyme disease that's been wreaking havoc in my body for 25 years. Oof, wow.
Lyme?
Lyme, yeah. Southern Lyme, Ehrlichia from the Lone Star tick, supposedly.
Yeah, from what I understand, that's all bullshit too. That there's you don't catch things. You don't the viral theory is a fraud. We don't catch colds. We don't catch.
That's what diseases. Everyone keeps telling me.
Yeah, it's a hard one to grasp, especially when they say you don't catch herpes. because I know people that didn't have herpes until after they slept with somebody. But truthfully, there's other factors involved. Like, are really when you walk, we have auras for right. one.
We have different bodies. Yes.
Yeah. And our aura, you could be next to somebody and it could be more their aura is telling your aura that it's time for you to detox at the same time. So that's why if they have a chicken pox party, say,
right.
How come they all didn't get chicken pox? How come only one or two did? Well, it's because they didn't catch it through contagion or, you know, a virus through from the air. They caught it because their bodies needed to detox at the same time. Same as a cold. Somebody comes over and they have a cold and they leave and you have a cold. It didn't give it to you. Your body said, hey, I need to detox too. This is all just a new theory, but it's, you know, the Dr. Young.
Well, isn't germ still a theory?
The germ theory is a fraud.
Don't they teach that to medical students?
That's everything.
They teach germ theory.
Yes, by Pasteur. Pasteur is the one that had, who wasn't a doctor. He wasn't a scientist. He was just, I think he was a teacher or something, that just wrote stuff up for the Rockefellers. And Antoine Bechamp at the same time came right out and said, you're wrong, Pasteur, you are wrong. It's about the terrain. The terrain model is correct. The germ model is incorrect.
Those Rockefellers seem to pop up in all the bad stories.
Yeah, well, that's, when we get to my end of my story in my next book, you'll hear why.
Oh, I know why, but yeah, this is great. Keep going.
Yeah. So, okay. So the interstitial fluids of the interstitium is your savior. That's how you cure anything. Your Lyme disease, your lupus, your cancer. You don't have any of these things. You're doing them, and you're doing them because you're acidic, and you're acidic from what you eat, drink, think, breathe, and the 5G Wi-Fi is really bad. We're sitting in Chernobyl these days. Yeah. It's a really bad, it's a mass weapon of destruction, the 5G towers. They got to come down. That's the first thing after we get everybody awake to not take the shots anymore. We've got to wake them up to the fact that it's the 5G radiation that made everybody sick in the first place, that made them think they had a virus. No, they just were having radiation poisoning. Mm-hmm. This is getting into my other story in my next book. My book here is called COVID 1984, because there was no COVID. It was all a con. And this leads into it. It's there again, you don't get things, you do them. And you do them from your acidosis. The way we cure that is by getting the acidosis out of you and the alkalinity into you. There's four ways of getting the acidosis out of you for men, five for women. It's breathing, aspirating, that's one, sweating, that's two, peeing and pooping, that's three, four, and women menstruate it out too. That's why they live longer than men, because they have one extra way of getting acidosis out of their body. So this throws all of Western medicine in the garbage where it belongs, except for the emergency room. I love you guys. You guys do.
Same.
All we need to do is keep our interstitium clean by flushing out the interstitial fluids, which your lymphatic system. That's why we get people jumping on a trampoline when they have cancer, to get this acid out of their blood through the lymphatic system. And then they sweat it out, go to the bathroom, blah, 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 like I just said. That's it, folks. That's why the medical industry is garbage, complete and total garbage. Everybody, a part of it is a part of Satan's army. Mm-hmm. And people that run it are the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, satanic scumbags, like the same people that Kanye West was talking about that run Hollywood. They if you look at all the names, just look it up, all the names behind the shots that made money. Look, there's who we're talking about.
Yeah.
So
one of my last guests called them the parasitic, excuse me. One of my last guests called them the parasitic class. I said, what did you just say? He said, you know, the parasitic class. I'm like, that's fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you can't even call anybody an anti-Semitic, because Semitics are the Palestinians. And the only people I know that don't like Palestinians are the Jews. So cats out of the bag, folks.
Yeah.
the elephant in the room died suddenly.
So, you know, I used to, it's funny, years ago, we're talking at least probably, well, let me see, 18 years ago was when I really turned the corner from Western medicine to Eastern thinking and discovered very quickly alkalinity. And I even have slides in my Google Drive where to friends and family, I would show them the alkaline scale and I'd say it all, it all goes back to your pH. And I was on board with that completely. I don't know why, you know, I deviated, but I was all about the simplicity of our bodies have an ideal pH, just like when the pool guy comes around and checks your pool water. And when our pH is off, everything's off. And so to add to that a little bit more confirmation, I'm just thinking out loud now. I recently, or, you know, currently, or am in the whole menopause phase of life, and my hair stopped growing and it got dry and it started falling out and my skin got worse and I gained weight and I felt horrible. And so what did I do as far as my hair and my skin, the beauty part, is I went and read all I could read about regrowing hair. I mean, I spent weeks on just hair research, and I came to the conclusion that our scalp has a pH. And I believe, if I'm not incorrect, it's a 3.5 to 4.5 is the pH of the scalp. And so I thought, well, wait a minute, if the products I'm using are going to disrupt the pH of my scalp and my hair follicles, that can't be good. So I threw all those out and I went to this company that makes everything completely naturally from essential oils and plants and all this and coffee beans, and their hair products, their shampoo, conditioner, and hair mask, hair oil. I bought it. And I immediately tested it with the pH strips, and they all tested within 3.5 to 4.5. And of course, you know, long story short, lo and behold, my hair is growing like crazy. It's not falling out. Everything's going back to normal. I tested, you know, I learned about the pH of my facial skin. And so this, I might have to circle back to all this and give this a try.
Yeah. And here's another thing that's really good for your hair is baking soda. Put a teaspoon of baking soda in your shampoo and wash that into your hair, and you'll be amazed. You can see a difference right away. There's something about that, even though it's a higher, I'm not sure how you're saying, I didn't know about the scalp being a 3 point, whatever it is, but baking soda in your hair, in your baths, in your drinks, amazing. It's wow. It's secure all. And that's why
it tastes salty, right? It tastes salty.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't mind it. I'll put a teaspoon of something this big, and it's, I can't really drink water without it now because I like that little bit of salt. It's sort of like my margaritas always liked with salt, you know.
Next time I go to the bar, I'll tell the bartender, can you rim mine with baking soda? Well, that's actually something, you know, that I'm an inventor before anything else, and just haven't invented all my ideas because so many come. But I thought the next wave of marketing cocktails will be to make sure that they actually have health benefits.
Well, that's smart. And a way to do that would be to put a pinch of baking soda in them, in your coffee, in anything that's acidic, you put a pinch of baking soda in it, you just nullify the acidity of it. That's now, awesome. It's still not great for you. Like Dr. Young is really against coffee, which sucks because I love my coffee.
I have to have my coffee or someone's dying.
Yeah. So, but I do, I'll put a pinch of baking soda in it. I also put some
collagen,
turmeric.
Turmeric, okay.
Turmeric, black pepper, because that makes the turmeric 1,000 times.
I just tried the golden drink, the golden milk. No, I don't drink milk. I had it in the fridge because I buy it once a year for the holidays, and I buy the raw and, you know, organic and all that. There's always one recipe at the holidays that makes me break down and buy milk. But I enjoy that golden mixture of the turmeric and the black pepper, and there was a little bit of ginger and it. And some cardamom, and it tasted like a chai tea. So I liked it.
Yeah. Every morning I put in a half a teaspoon of coconut oil, turmeric, black pepper, and cinnamon, and with some almond milk and some stevia, and I blend it. And it tastes, it's amazing. It's like heavenly from something you get at Starbucks, you know, just like a latte. It's got the consistency of a latte, but it's really good for you in the sense that it has it's a medicine now. And I've stopped the acidosis with that little, just a tiny pinch. You don't want much because you don't want to change the flavor of the
bacon. So you cured your own cancer, and you know plenty of people that have. And this was your new, you know, your health coach and activist. This is your new, not new, but this is your ultimate calling in life.
Yeah, it turned out, who would have guessed I could find something better than being a movie star? Because being a movie star was pretty cool, I gotta admit.
Yeah, except for the, you know, the fucking dick part.
Yeah. So this is way better. And it's funny at this stage, it's, you know, I don't like to call it God. I like to call it source, the universe or whatever, seems to think that my best position is to be an Uber driver. So that's, instead of starring in movies in Hollywood, I am driving an Uber. And when you get me as your driver, you get a bonus program because you're learning how to cure cancer. You're learning how to lose weight.
My God.
You're learning how to, you know, we're talking politics, whatever you want to talk about. You
Uber
know.
Doctor.
Yeah. And I get a lot of comments after, like, that's a five star.
Yeah.
Five star.
I've seen a girlfriend actually travel around Orlando delivering some like courier type stuff. And then also she said, well, let me try Uber and see if the money's any different. And she was doing the same thing. She would talk to the people and she'd ask a qualifying question first, you know, like, so what do you think about this? And of course, you know, all those big companies, the cabal companies, you know, they put in those mask requirements. Like you have to wear your mask if you're in the taxi or whatever. And so she would ask about that first, like, do you not mind? And she'd feel people out and then she'd go right into it. If they were
She's smart.
Mm-hmm.
You
just open your mouth.
Spider in me, you know, I just start running my mouth. And so I get 5 stars from everybody, but once in a while I get a liberal in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a 1 star. Like, yeah, I get 1 star. I didn't crash. I got you where you wanted to go on time. I'm a great driver, but I get 1 star because my political views aren't the same as yours. Okay. Whatever.
Wow. This has been chock full of all kinds of information. And again, if anyone listening wants to follow Ian or read about how you can get his books and check out his other site, iCureCancer.com, just start at his main site, which is ianjacklin.com. And let me spell that for you. That's Ian, I-A-N, Jacklin, J-A-C-K-L-I-N.com. And we'll put the link in the description so you can find it. And is there anything else you want to add to this before we wrap up?
Just that I'm here for anybody that needs help coaching. I'm an expert in cancer, but pretty much any degenerative disease, or if you just want to lose weight, you want to get in shape, it's all the same. You have to get alkaline. So if you need help getting on an alkaline diet and knowing what supplements to take, I can do that.
So let's talk about that for a second, because like I said, I started going in the vegan direction. And I got even more sick. I was making my own, instead of, you know, adding creamer to my coffee, organic raw creamer, I said, well, let me make cashew milk. And I love the taste of it. And so I was really trying to eliminate as many dairy products and animal products as possible. And then I couldn't get out of bed. I kept getting more and more sore and more inflamed. And so then I started researching carnivore because a lot of my friends were doing it, and it, some of it made sense, because the way I think of things is a lot of times in a spreadsheet. I said, okay, if I put all the nutrients I need in column A, that's all the nutrients a body needs. And in column B, I put all the nutrients that plants provide. And in column C, I put all the nutrients that animals provide, and A and C was matching more. And I just went out and I ordered all the meat and all the eggs and bacon and steaks and everything. And I started inhaling it and I felt better for a few weeks, but then it kind of evened out and my body was saying, okay, this isn't the answer either. So obviously I was missing something that was supplemented by the animals. But I know that everything in life is balance. And I know that, you know, cultures that have come for thousands of years before us never needed some new fad. They figured it out over time. So what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, there's some people say blood types matter too. Some people are just more, they need meat more than others. Maybe you're one of them. When I listen to Dr. Young, he's very strict and says, bottom line is this, we don't run on fat or nutrients or proteins or sugars, carbohydrates. We run on electrons. Mm-hmm. That's it. And we get electrons from the sun. The photons go into the plants, make them green, and we eat the greens. And that is the new steroid. I'm still in great shape in my 50s and I hardly eat any meat at all. Definitely no steroids or anything like that. I eat greens, green cruciferous vegetables, and the green powder drinks that you can get. again, we run on electrons. Tom Brady is one of Dr. Young's students, like I am. And that's why he's such a great football player. His age in his 40s, he hangs out with the 20-year-olds because he's alkaline. So the acidosis is going to give you the creaks and the pains and everything. Alkaline is going to fix all that. I'm not sure what you did that would have made you feel worse. It could have been psychological too. Some people just love
probably the vodka I drink at night.
Oh, you think?
I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement over here, but
Okay, yeah, I think we're on to something then. Yeah, liquor's really bad for you because that's pure sugar. You might as well drink vinegar. You know, it's
acid. Geez.
Wine, I'm sorry, ladies, but your wine is usually full of glyphosate and GMOs, which the alcohol helps getting into the cell.
Yeah.
The alcohol gets the GMOs and the glyphosate into your cells faster. Israel did a study on this and said, 30% more cancer rates in women that have a glass of wine every day.
Wow. So,
yeah.
I knew that whole Blue Zone thing must have been a marketing campaign.
Was that, what's that?
Blue Zones where they say, the things that people do to live over 100 years old in various places around the world. And, every night they have a good alcoholic drink with their friends and this and that. And I'm like, there's no one. Oh, anyway, I'm going to give this a whirl. I'm going to add the baking soda to my water right after this. And I'm going to test my alkalinity with the pH strips and see where I'm at. And,
I'm
going to remove the alcohol.
Very smart. Very smart. I mean, here's the thing though. Once a week, go off. That's what I do. Once a week, I'll have a steak, I'll have a burger, I'll have ice cream. I don't drink anymore, but whatever. So I can eat. It's called the 80-20 diet. 80% of the time you should be alkaline, 20% you can have acid.
Okay.
So that way you don't lose it either. Because if you go perfect all the time, I mean, you're just going to get sick of it. Right. And I'm sure that the laughter and the fun that people have over their drink or two a week is life-saving. So, I don't ever want to take anybody away from that. Just, I wouldn't make it a habit of, because they've said like one glass of wine a day is good for you. Well, maybe if you're getting organic for sure, and there's definitely no pesticides, herbicides or GMOs or any of that crap in there. Cause if there is, you're hurting yourself badly. Oh, another thing I read in this book I told everybody to get about vaccines, about the turtles all the way down is polio came from pesticides, herbicides, from all that stuff they sprayed on our food. They couldn't figure out why some people seemed to, it was contagious, some weren't. It was so confusing. For many, many years, hundreds of years, they could never figure out this polio until they finally realized they had breakouts during apple season, basically, because they sprayed the apples with this
heavily pesticided. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what caused polio. There is no polio. Again, it's just poison. It's poison that they sprayed on your foods and it paralyzed people. And Big Pharma called it a name, polio, so you could get a polio shot, which then would give you polio.
Right.
So again, we kind of come full circle to, I got into the vaccines a little
early. Everything is toxic. To me, at least in my simplistic way of explaining things, we are part of nature, and anything that man has made in a laboratory is foreign to an organic organism, if I'm using the right terms here. So if it's man-made, you should be suspicious and cautious.
Absolutely. Oh, and I'm glad that we're still rolling here, because I'm now coming into the flow of, to wrap all this up, who the Rockefellers are, who the Rothschilds are.
We're just going to get this episode banned on every channel possible.
Oh, yeah. This ain't going on YouTube.
Nope.
All hail Kanye West for coming out and telling the goddamn truth.
I know.
For a change.
I know.
And we're done. We are done. Once the rest of the world catches on to this, you're done. You're going to go. You people are not staying on our planet anymore, or at least not in control. If you're a scumbag, you're a scumbag. You don't get a free pass because somebody's book says you're a chosen one. No, you're not. And we know what is up. So, and it's just a matter of time. Most of us already know, and we're just waiting.
I think the system is crumbling. And, again, I try and stay away from a lot of the noise because it's very overwhelming. And I've already done my research. But I think it's crumbling. It's very fragile. There's too many people awake, and I'm just sitting back watching good things happen and good people stand up. So
It's like that moment in Braveheart when he's saying, hold, hold.
Right.
We're all holding.
Right.
One, this is the last hold we're on right now. The last, they ruined it when they came out with the scandemic.
Yeah.
You know, they, because too many people died suddenly. Are you kidding me? Everybody's doing that. Millions are going to die in the next few years from this. And guess who we're coming for?
Yeah.
We know who you are. We know your addresses.
People,
we know
your names. Can't make that connection. They're like, well, what do you know? The vaccine has nothing to do with deaths. I mean, there's still people in my life that say that, and my eyes just pop open and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, well, wow. We don't care about those sheep anymore. We want lions. If you're a lion, you step up to the plate with us right now and get ready, because like I said, we're on the last hold and we're going and we're changing the way this world is run.
I think so. Ian, Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here today. And again, anyone that needs to pick up some of his information can go to ianjacklin.com. And wow, we have to have you back. But thanks for all of this today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Nice talking to you. We'll talk again.
You've been listening to a woman known as Jennifer Goodwin, exposing the lies and bullshit in the world. We hope you've gotten some useful information from this podcast, and we hope that you're just as fired up as Jennifer. Find out more about what she's got going on at jenniferhgoodwin.com. And be sure to check out all her social links on the contact page. Till next time, this is the woman known as Jennifer, signing off.